Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Headphones On Podcast, episode 18. I'm Dina.
I'm Millie.
And today we're going to talk about disco. We have a corresponding playlist to this episode, and you can find it on our Instagram highlights and stories at headphones on underscore, TikTok at headphones on underscore, and our Twitter at underscore headphones underscore on. There you'll also find links to previous episodes and playlists. Feel free to hit follow and all the above to stay in touch with us. Let's get into it.
So we're gonna disco for sure.
Yeah, yes, we
I'm
are.
so excited about
I'm
this episode.
so excited. Should we kind of like talk about disco and explain before we like ask questions, like explain what disco is? Okay. So it's a genre of music, and it started off in like the late 60s, really emerged in the 70s. Kind of died away a little bit in the 80s. You still hear it today. It's not dead. We've talked about this before. It's not dead. But it really is a dance kind of culture. And it's like you don't like it's clubbing and it's dancing and it's fun and it's like the outfits were just as important as like the music. It was like it was very layered. And it just had a bunch of like beats, like the four on the floor, syncopated bass lines, horns, electric instruments, synthesizers. And I feel like it brought in a lot of cultural music too, like American cultural music. What would you say disco is?
I think it's for at that time for me, it almost seemed like a way of life. It just seems something so exciting. And because the sound is so fast paced and full of energy, I think it was something that just swept in like a tornado.
I think that because we did have also this discussion about how there was an anti-disco movement and it primarily stemmed from like the white culture. And
I totally stemmed from racism. That's what I think.
exactly.
And
I think so
homophobia.
too. Yes. Yes. Yeah, because it was a very disco embraced everybody. And it started off because, just
You were free to be yourself.
And just like looking up the definition, and it just talks about disco started as a mixture of music from venues popular with Italian Americans, Hispanic and Latino Americans, and Black Americans in Philly and New York City during the late 60s and early 70s. So it can be seen as a counterculture to both the dominance of rock music and the stigmatization of dance music at the time. So it even created, it says disco's popularity created like the dance, the bump and the hustle. So, I mean, I think it is really interesting. Like, you can't talk about disco without talking about its origins and, and like you said, the LGBTQ aspect of it. The minority aspect of it. We had Soul Train in this time,
It was a solid gold. It was such a fun
Solid
time.
Gold, Soul Train, like all these really incredible, and that like these people don't realize like these national shows gave us like, and I know in Detroit we had what was it called? Did you have any like version of this in Miami? Detroit dance show or something? Dance party?
We
Did you have
probably
like
had we probably I watched Solid Gold even in the 80s, because that show was around for a really long time. So what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of disco, of or at least the disco era? Something that you remember?
Drugs.
Drugs.
Drugs, and platform shoes. Honestly, for me, it was like the looks.
Looks. That's same for me. The low cut, slinky dresses, the strappy heels, that high shine red lip gloss. Like, it's just a lot of glitz and silver, and and I remember, actually, I remember being, this was like, I was already 13 or 14, and I was actually hanging out with my babysitter. She wasn't my babysitter at the time because I was already a teenager, but I remember asking her, how did our moms used to dress when they went out? And this was the older sister, Evie, and she looked me straight in the eye and she was like, girls, like bitches and pimps. Like,
Oh my gosh, that's
they were out to the
amazing.
nine. Like, the first Shaw was involved. Like,
But do you
I'm
know?
like over the top of that era. Like, everybody, it was a production. It was just
Yeah.
this whole thing to go out. And part of me, like, really appreciates then later in the 2000s when Future Sex Love Sounds came out, and how that whole sound, like, that whole vibe was bringing back sexy. Like, he's not going to wait at your door with a tee and some blazers. And I don't mean
Yeah.
blazers in the jacket. I mean, like, blazers as in trainers.
Yeah.
So almost like this, you know, the men were wearing jackets and button downs. And I always think, at least of that time, of Francesco Scabullo, the photographer, and the women he photographed, like Margot Hemingway. I
Yeah.
always loved her look. She looked very sexy and innocent at the same time. Bianca
Yeah.
Jagger, I guess, too.
There is something, and I mean, I know that there were political issues, you know, still the Vietnam War going on in the 70s.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that there was, because it was in the early days, like a subculture, it was a place for people to escape to. So it was like their space. And
Yeah.
then, like, later on, as more celebrities got involved and it became a bigger thing in the later 70s, the mid to late 70s, it was a place to be seen and to show out. And you kind of see that 80s access, like the beginning stages of the 80s access within, like, the look of disco, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything was slick, everything was shiny, like from the music to the outfits to the bodies, you know, from like the interior of where you're partying. So I think
Yeah.
it was really an interesting moment in time.
It was so cool. Like, what would you say is your favorite disco icon?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It's like, I think for me, it is Bianca Jagger on the White Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For me, Donna Summer,
Yeah.
definitely.
She's like the queen of disco, you know?
Yeah, but I think Bee Gees and Liza Minnelli too.
Okay, let's get into our picks. Millie, what's up first?
So my first pick is I Feel Love by Donna Summer from her album I Remember Yesterday, released in 1977. So Donna Summer, born LaDonna Adrienne Gaines, was an American singer, songwriter, known as the Queen of Disco. She was also a Capricorn, so I have to mention that. And she was also an artist. I didn't know this. She was a painter. I don't know if I told you this. I have a little print of a painting she made of Bette Midler that's on my office bulletin board. Like, and people ask me, like, who's what the hell? Like, that's Donna Summer's version of Bette Midler.
I love that.
Respect.
Yeah,
Like,
really.
yeah, she was a painter. So in the 60s, she was actually the lead singer of a psych band called Crow. And she moved to New York and started acting and modeling. And that's where she met the producer, Giorgio Moroder. Moroder is a well-known producer, songwriter, composer. And so if Donna was the queen of disco, Moroder was the king. And actually, he is still known as the father of disco
Right.
because he was a pioneer of disco and electronic dance. And he was able to influence so many genres like synth pop, new wave. So he was a huge deal at the time. And he created songs for David Bowie, Janet Jackson, Blondie, just to name a few. I mean, the man's been sampled a lot in
Right.
hip hop songs. He was just this icon at the time, and like this hot producer that everybody wanted to work with. So I Feel Love was produced and co-written by him and Peepalot, who's also a producer and songwriter. And the backstory to this song was actually that Peepalot went over to Summer's house, Donna Summer's house, to write the song. But she was on the phone with her astrologer, who was in New York City at the time. And she was dating someone and really falling in love with him and was actually going through his entire birth chart with her astrologer. Like, I mean, you have to do that, right? You have to go to the astrologer and the tarot reader,
Oh,
of course.
totally,
Like,
totally.
mind you, this is the detail I remember. It's like I
Yeah.
remember the astrologer, Donna Summer's astrologer, like not the recording of the song or the
Yeah.
production.
No, never. It's okay. That's fine.
Like, look at this is the detail that I'm like taking in.
Yeah.
But her hits are just endless. So I chose this one because it's my favorite, because it's such an important song for the disco and the dance period. It's one of my favorite recordings ever, honestly. I think it should be part of every dancer's Bible. For me, like, I feel love is kind of like the anthem.
Yeah.
And another backstory is when Brian Eno, who was working with David Bowie at the time, told Bowie, like, I just heard the song, I Feel Love. And he described it as going to be the future of disco, that it was going to change the sound of dance music for years to come.
Wow.
And he was right. Like, I think this is probably the first known techno song.
Right.
Like, some say it was actually the first known house song, because it was that groundbreaking. Like, right. No one was putting out anything like this at that time.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of really controversial too, because radio stations didn't want to play it. It was just considered overtly sexual at the time, because Donna was moaning on the track.
Yep.
In some versions, I think it was cut in some other ones, because there's a 12-inch version. And so I guess the version that they released was a more edited down. Mm-hmm. But, like, you've never heard this woman having, like, an orgasm. Like, I mean, it was the introduction to that.
Yeah.
To that kind of sound. Right. It's something that Madonna did forever later.
Yeah.
But for those of you that don't like disco, we can't be friends. I don't know her.
But seriously,
we can't be friends. But I highly recommend at least giving this song a listen. You won't be sorry. Donna Summer's voice is flawless. She probably has one of the most beautiful voices ever. Like, her voice can put you into a trance. And I feel that, like, when I listen to this song, because you kind of feel high, even though you're not high. It's just, it's this sexy mood.
Yeah,
that it'll just make you want to get naked and dance, which I've done to this several times, by the way. It's that kind of song.
But that's the thing. I think that, like, the pairing of, you know, Giorgio and then Donna Summer, like, I think that it just clicked so well. Like, they just, he could really support her vocals, because her vocals are kind of, like, breathy and sexy and, like, they're like another world, right? And then he has these beats. Because imagine,
well, she felt kind of uncomfortable in the beginning.
Well, yeah,
she wasn't used to this.
Like, yeah, because she's also not, like, wasn't she from a religious family?
Yeah, no. She was really, really uncomfortable. It's like, can I even do this? But I think what it is Marauder brought this out in her.
Right.
And once she got into the groove,
she's like, okay, let's
record. And right. To me, it's just such a wild song. Can you imagine hearing this song for the very first time in 1977?
That would be insane. Remember the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Yes.
Okay. So I used to want that, because I'm like, oh no, heartbreak. No, that's so lame. Like, who cares about breaking up? I want to erase, like, parts of my memory so I could hear music again for the first time.
That's oh my gosh.
That's what I want.
Oh my God. Dream come true.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing. What's your pick?
My first pick is Young Hearts Run Free by Candy Stanton from Young Hearts Run Free 1976 record.
Such a great song.
Yeah. Stanton was discovered singing at church, and then a pastor from her church had her sister and, like, a third vocalist form a group called Jewel Gospel Trio. She later started doing kind of like R&B renditions of songs, and she has, I think, an album of them. What got her kind of discovered with bigger parts of the industry was her rendition of Stand By Your Man and In the Ghetto. That I think took her to Soul Train. It's where she performed. So Young Hearts was recorded after this period of time of doing her R&B, and it reached number one in the US charts and number two on the UK charts. According to Stanton, the song's creation was, like, came from a conversation that she was having with Crawford over lunch in Los Angeles. And she goes, Dave Crawford was always asking me what's happening in your life. And I was then with someone I shouldn't have been with. And it was hard getting out of that very abusive relationship. I noticed that Crawford was taking notes, and he said, you know, I'm going to write you a song. I'm going to write you a song that's going to last forever. And this was Young Hearts Run Free truly was covered several times. It was covered in 1986, and then again covered in 1996 by Kim Mazel for Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Both the original and the cover are outstanding. In 1982, Stanton returned to her gospel music roots by co-founding Ministries. And then Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's Praise the Lord Ministries helped their endeavor. It is amazing because I love Tammy Faye Baker. her praise the Lord Ministries. Like I saw, I actually highly recommend watching Tammy Faye's documentary. Really, really good. But anyways.
Oh, it's great. It's so, so great. Good.
Poor thing. Yeah. Love her.
Love her.
But yeah, Young Hearts Run Free. Her voice, it's just so beautiful. And it's such a fun. That's another one where you're like, this is a great disco song. And the lyrics, like, they also mean something. But I absolutely love this song. It's such a classic.
It's so good. It really is. It's fun.
Yeah. What about you? What's next?
For me, the next pick is Turn the Beat Around by Vicky Sue Robinson from Never Gonna Let You Go, her album in 1976. So Vicky Sue Robinson was a singer, a theater and film actress. Mm-hmm. She was on Broadway and was part of the cast for Hair, which, side note, Donna Summer also worked on the musical Hair. Mm-hmm. So Turn the Beat Around is pretty much a disco classic. Like, you can't get away from it. It earned her a Grammy nomination for Best Female Pop Vocals, and it was number one on the Billboard Disco chart for 4 weeks. So this song probably was the song to bring disco to the forefront. They were definitely playing this song. So this was highly popular. And I remember my mom used to actually dance to this in the Latin clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was one of the few English songs that the DJs there would actually play.
Yeah.
So that's how popular it was. I mean, it, like, everybody was dancing to this.
Yeah.
Because the song itself is just sick. The beats are incredible, has a lot of speed and so much power. Yeah. And that's really due to her vocals. Her voice is just incredible.
Yeah.
Sadly, Vicky Sue Robinson passed away in 2000 from cancer, and she was only 45. So she died so young. I mean, such a talent. She's just incredible. And this is such a groove, and it's so important to disco. It's probably part of every single disco soundtrack you'll ever hear.
But so didn't also Gloria Estefan and the Mammy Sound Machine cover it?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. They covered it. Very good cover. I thought it was really good. It was for, at the time, they actually filmed the video here in Miami. Yeah. It was for a soundtrack that, for a movie that Sharon Stone and Sylvester Stallone was in. I forget the name, but it was actually filmed in Miami too.
Oh, okay.
That's just like me and my Miami trivia. I suck.
I love it. I love when you kind of have these Miami facts. I'm like here for it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good cover. I like Vicky Sue Robinson's better.
Yeah.
But Gloria did a really good job. And when you have like this incredible band backing you up, and it's really, she's able to describe these instruments in a way, like, and while they're blasting in the background and you just can't escape. It's just so good.
I think that's the thing. I think, like, with Gloria's version, it is like a nice, like, Latin-esque, you know, Cuban-esque kind of a little bit take on it. But no, I love the original as well. I love the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
So good.
Yeah. My next pick is Boogie Oogie Oogie by Taste of Honey from their Taste of Honey record, 1978. The band Taste of Honey was formed in 1972. The only constant member being Janice Marie Johnson, who was on vocals. She was a co-writer and she's a bassist. This song is considered a crossover, like funk, soul, you know, disco, that reached platinum, selling over 2 million copies. It was a very short-lived group. They disbanded in 1983. They got together a couple decades later, just for like a reunion. But yeah, really interesting female-led. Like, there were some male artists in this group too, but mainly it was like on the cover you just have Carlita Doran and Janice Marie Johnson. I think that's who's on the cover. But really beautiful, great song. Very slick. I love it. It's a good song.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Ah.
All right. Next.
So good. Next is Love Hangover by Diana Ross from her second self-titled album, Diana Ross, 1976. And I mean, everybody knows who Diana Ross is. So, singer, actress, former lead singer for the female group, The Supremes. So the Supremes are known in the history books as the most successful vocal groups. and probably the most successful female vocal group. Were you a fan of the Supremes?
No, I love them.
Do you have a favorite song?
No. I honestly
I think
can't
I love
say.
Love Child. I love Love Child. It's probably one of my favorite songs. Like, it's so good. They're amazing. They're amazing. She left the group actually in 1970 to pursue her acting and solo career. Mm-hmm. And she became an international star. And at that time, everyone wanted a piece of her. Right. So Diana Ross is an icon. She could do it all, sing it all, soul, pop, R&B, jazz, Motown. It's funny to me that she's actually still known as a disco queen.
Right.
Like, when this is actually the only real disco song on this album.
Yeah.
But it is a great, it's an excellent 70s album.
Yeah.
Just pure, if you want pure 70s, definitely check out Diana Ross's album from 1976. But she's had many other dance hits, and another famous one is I'm Coming Out from 1980. Everybody knows that one. I love Love Hangover. It's like I Feel Love. It's this really, really sexy song.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of these that starts slow, very seductive in the beginning, puts you in this trance. Because actually it was supposed to be a ballad. But then Diana Ross actually felt comfortable enough with adding the up-tempo and, you know, speeding it up. And you get this, like in the mid to the end, you get this burst of energy. And it just makes you want to move. It was such a huge success. The song went platinum and it was number one on several Billboard charts, like the Hot 100, the dance charts. She broke the record for the most number one hits by a female vocalist. And actually, I mean, obviously other women after her broke the record, but at the time, this was a huge song. It was just really, really sexy. And it felt like this entire vibe, like, I don't know. It's that feeling you get when you meet someone and sparks fly and you have this crush and you just smile to yourself. Like, that's what I envision. Like,
it is. It's the beginning. It's the start.
It's like the beginning. And like, you bite your lip. Like, it's that initial, like when you first meet the person and he doesn't know it, but like, you're kind of like, I don't know, like, it's when the imagination kind of runs wild. It's such a, like, a pure time in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know. Then, of course, then they blow it.
then it's like reality sets in and you're like,
sets in and it's over. But this is such a sexy
song. For 5
song.
Minutes
I love
in the beginning.
The song. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
But I think that's what's interesting is when you consume stuff about emotion, it's always like the love that you feel for a very short period of time possibly lives on forever in these arts, music, art, movies. So it is interesting. It's like suspended in time, this feeling that, you know, we're talking about, this like first love or the beginnings of a relationship. You know, you can always come back to this song, Love Hangover, and relive that experience, which is so cool.
It's so good. It's like she was able to capture that moment when you're thinking dirty thoughts. Like, she did it so well. I'm like, damn, Diana, you go. Like,
She's great.
It's really great. It's really great. I love Diana Ross. I think not just disco icon. I think she's just fierce.
She's just an icon.
She just is. Yeah. What about you?
My last pick before our honorable mentions is You Make Me Feel Mighty Real by Sylvester from the record Step 2 from 1978. This song was already a large popular dance club hit in late 1978. And it was like the B-side of his previous single, which was Dance Disco Heat. It was officially released in December. In 2003, Q Magazine included You Make Me Feel Mighty Real in their list of the 1001 best songs ever. In 2019, the song was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the National Recording Registry for being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. So, Sylvester was born Sylvester James Jr. in 1947.
47.
And he unfortunately passed away in 1988 due to AIDS-related complications. He was singing in church, and then he left church because they couldn't accept that he was gay. And he kind of found his found family was people that, like, black cross dressers, transgender women, and this group called themselves the Discotes. And I think him moving to San Francisco in 1970, he was 22, he embraced the counterculture there. He was with his peers, and he was influenced by, like, Billie Holiday, Josephine Baker. And I mean, especially like Josephine Baker, I can see where Sylvester and being in the gay scene in San Francisco in the 70s would really appeal to him. Like, she was very theatrical, the costuming, the movements. She was a beautiful woman, you know? So I think that that play and that kind of lends itself to disco, right? Like, I feel like in disco, sometimes you can put on a persona. You're like the cool person. You're just... I don't know. You're just taking on this other character.
Well, to me, it's definitely like Superman and Clark Kent.
Yes. Yes.
Like, the vibe when you're in the club and the discotheque is very, very different from the office. Like, it almost... Well, it's your you're incognito.
but it has to be.
Or sorry, the opposite of incognito, really.
Yeah. Because you can't, like, you can't be Superman every day or all day long in front of people. Like, but yeah, no, Sylvester was an activist who campaigned against the spread of HIV and AIDS. He died of complications, and he left all future royalties from his work to San Francisco-based charities for HIV and AIDS. So, yeah. And in the 70s, Sylvester gained the moniker the Queen of Disco. He's just an amazing person. And
such a good song, too.
Kind-hearted person. Totally. Oh, my God. This song is just... sonically incredible.
Makes you move. Makes you move. Yeah.
Oh, it is so good. Okay, guys, now is the time in the show where we discuss our never-ending list of honorable mentions. Millie,
yes, this is always fun.
I think I have more than you this time.
You do? Okay, cool. Yeah.
I'm gonna like run through them fast because I got a lot, but you're good.
Oh my gosh. All right, so my number one honorable mention is You Should Be Dancing by the Bee Gees from the album Children of the World, released in 1976. This was a major hit for the Bee Gees, topped the dance charts, constantly on the radio, and apparently this is a song that moved the group towards disco.
Yeah.
Bee Gees were around forever. Actually, they're one of my favorite groups. I love
the
Bee Gees.
They're
just amazing.
I think it's just kind of like, because they had such a long career too, and they had a lot of tragedy in there within the band, but
yes,
and within their family because their little brother died. But my God, the harmonies,
their vocals were just beautiful.
Just get out of
and
here.
It was so good. I mean, more than a talented group.
More than a woman, kill me right now. That is so good. So
And actually, this song was also included in the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack that came out in 1977.
Yep.
This is it. This is the disco movie. So that if you didn't know about disco, you knew then. You knew when you saw this movie, because this entire soundtrack should actually be on the playlist. Because, I mean, you think of this, like, you automatically think of John Travolta, like, dancing. It's really legendary.
On the lit dance floor. On the lit dance floor. Dance and he's floor, in black. Right? His shirt's open. Arm movement thing. Yeah.
Yes. So it's like you kind of have to, you go back and you just automatically see John Travolta. And something, again, to discuss the disco era, something that to me was pure disco was confidence.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Confidence was a big part of it. I mean, the era you just exuded this confidence. And that's really a quality for me that I really appreciate. Like, I kind of fell in love with Roger because of his confidence. Like, who is this, like, geeky chess master all confident? Like,
God, that's
You're going to say no, but I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to ask you out again. I'm going to ask you it again and again.
Can I tell you?
So there was something about that just, like, I think it's such a nice quality to have, you know?
I think it's adorable because I think both of our partners are similar in that, like, they're quietly confident. Like, they don't have to boast, but they won't boast, but
you'll never see them sweat.
They're sure of themselves. I think there's something like you're talking about the confidence. I think Chris is the same way in that he is dorky too, but I am dorky too. But it's just kind of like, nobody knows that I'm dorky, Actually, nobody knows that he's dorky either. Like, no, I couldn't tell that Roger was into chess. Anyways, that's besides the point. But, like, no, I think there's something so endearing about, like, there's a fine line.
In a way, like, I'm surrounded in a way by chess players, which is really funny. His best friend's an international master. He knows another grandmaster. It's crazy. Like, you would never think, right? But the confidence.
There's a fine line between being confident, because I know myself, you know, like,
and
like
being
like we talked about last time, like, I know my limits. I know what it's acceptable for me. I know what I won't accept, you know. But I think what we see a lot of the times is fake confidence. And like you said, arrogance. And that stems from insecurity directly. It's straight insecurity. And I cannot stand that. It's such a turnoff.
Insecure. I told you, insecure guys are the worst. Those are the ones that'll break your heart.
But there's
those are the problem.
Many of them.
There's just so many. Oh my gosh.
There's so many.
But I think that's life in general. And not to just say, not to pin it all on men.
I mean, because women humans in general, sometimes. I actually was thinking about this today. There are, like, a wide percentage of people are very similar, and that's why I can't get along with a lot of, like, I can get along with anybody, but my friend group is very small, just because
I'm sure
I'm not easy to deal with either. I'm very weird.
this is so funny because actually I will mention this, because I did talk about it in the live, like, speaking about tarot. I had a career reading. I have to tell you about it, and I'll tell you about it later. But I had a career reading.
Okay.
And actually, it was really positive. I left very optimistic.
Good.
But the gist of the reading was really funny, because it was play carnival games, get carnival prizes.
Ew, that's so true.
And I was like, that's on period. Because that's true. Like, and here's the thing, in every work situation or every social situation, you're going to encounter clown energy. There's going to be a lot of inauthenticity.
There
just is. And I think that's especially true for us in particular, because of the field, we just encounter a lot of posers. There's just a lot of posers. And you just kind of have to learn to roll with the punches and deal with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's career-wise, but I have to talk, you know, I'll tell you about her. We'll have to talk about that.
Yes.
We'll hash this out. Because you know, she's actually beautiful. Like, she's so sexy. You know, really? I call you, like, sexy newscaster lady. She's sexy tarot lady.
I love her so much.
The girl is gorgeous. But whatever. God. We'll talk about it. But that's just, in getting back to confidence.
Yeah.
There's something about that era to me that movie actually embodies, when John Travolta is getting ready to go out to the club.
But it's that primping. That
scene. Like that. Wearing the clothes and wearing, like, getting that hair blow dried, and just,
but you know,
look.
What it is, and this is the thing too, and this is what happened, and you guys, I know we've deviated, but I swear to God, I have a point.
We do this all the time.
I remember in the 2000s when Jersey Shore came out, okay, and at that time you saw a division within popular culture. Beer culture was emerging, especially in the Midwest, beer culture. People wearing plaid, people not wanting to dance or to party or to do anything. And I remember a lot of people that I knew would make fun of the guys on Jersey Shore for taking so long to get ready. And I was like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to wear a plaid shirt with ketchup stains and go to your bar and drink disgusting craft beer, do it. That's great. It's kind of boring. Like, I wouldn't do that every week, but if that's your thing, go ahead. But don't make
fun of the people that give, like, that extra effort.
That care. This is the face that you're putting out into the world. Like, show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. 100%.
Anyways. And chest hair. The Bee Gees had chest hair. Love it.
Oh, jewelry.
Yeah,
girl, the necklaces,
I love
the gold. I want those necklaces. I would rock them now.
I'm telling you, I love when Chris wears, like, Chris wears, like, a few things. Like, he has a really cool ring that I got him for, like, one of the, like, his birthday. I got him, like, a ring, and then he has a cool pinky ring that we got on our travels. And, like, I like that. I like guys in jewelry, especially because in my culture, like, pinky rings, and men wear, like, chains, and I love it.
Oh, it's well, the same thing with the Cuban culture.
Yes,
Caldeans and Cubans are pretty much, we're like the
similar.
same in a way.
We're like
We're very similar.
sisters.
And for us, it was that San Lázaro necklace.
Yeah, cross,
Sitting
big
on a
cross,
bed of like chest
chest
hair.
hair.
Come on.
A little
And
Dior Sauvage, and there you
Dior Sauvage,
go.
and there you go. You're done.
Maybe Chanel Blue,
So
who knows? No, I'm really
no,
stereotyping. That is not nice.
but hey, no, but it's you know how stereotypes are formed, though. They're kind
I'm a
of
sucker.
true.
You know what? As much shit as I talk sometimes about Chaldeans and being Chaldean, I will ride hard. I will go hard
Oh, I
for my
can't.
people. I will
You
go
can't. I
hard.
can't escape Cuban,
And I
Cubans,
love
even
it.
though
And
I
you know
want to
what?
fucking kill them
I
sometimes.
know, but
But
I love it. But I love it. I love the
I
culture. I love it.
can't. It's all about it. I swear.
Yeah. There's
Oh my
something
God.
so annoying but so loving.
So good. So
And
good.
especially as a woman, like, and I know we've talked about being feminists and whatever, but there is like a big, like, I remember growing up and even being with my cousins, I am completely protected when I'm with men that are Middle Eastern. And I've only known a few Latin men. I don't know many like Latin men, but I'm a princess. Like, I'm taken care of. Doors are open, car doors are open, everything is paid for. If somebody looks at me the wrong way, like, I'm, you know, and
But
like,
same thing here, same
I that's what
here.
I'm saying. And
You're
I
used
love
to
that.
that.
I
Like,
love
you're
that.
used to that. There
Being
was no such
protected.
thing
Yeah.
as, no, there was no such, and even if you dated, which for the few dates I had, because,
Yeah,
you know, with
right.
my strict Catholic mother,
Yeah.
but I will tell you this, there was no 50-50 they're paying. And yeah,
No, because you know what? You do
no.
that
You
little
were.
dance where you're like, I would like pretend I'm going for my purse, and they're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, okay. Like, I'm a
I
modern woman.
think,
Look
no,
at
if it's a
me.
date, I'm honest, like, in all honesty, if it's a date, I think the guy should pay, like, the
No,
first, at least
110%
the
the guy
first three
should pay.
times.
Are you kidding me? No. Listen, this is where my Chaldean-ness comes out. If you are
Or
taking
the
me
first three
out,
times. I don't mean I won't pay, because I do like to
no,
treat, like, in my
absolutely
nature.
no. Can I
But
tell you how I treat? Because I like to treat. But no, if you're dating me, if you're dating me, you are paying every time. And I'm not expecting like high end. I like Taco Bell. I like McDonald's. I'm not
me
that picky.
too.
But the
Oh
thing is
gosh,
like,
yeah,
you
no.
have to treat me or like cook for me or take care of me because these are my rules. I should be like a matchmaker. That's what, not a matchmaker. I should just have like rules of dating. But the thing is like, I wouldn't like the way I would reciprocate is I would like buy little gifts or I'd pick up like I'll pick up food. If we're dating for like a long period of time, like I remember buying Chris gifts, you know, or like I saw a shirt, I bought it for him because I'm like, okay, like we're boyfriend, girlfriend, we're in a committed relationship, you know.
I'm the same way. I'm super attentive.
Yeah,
Like, I'm
but no.
super into giving gifts. I would
Yeah.
like, you know,
Yeah.
like he would totally know if I was thinking about him, because I'm super like that.
Oh
The
yeah.
funny part is that the first days, like, if he wanted to take me out, like, I love burgers, but if he wanted to take me out for burgers, I'd be like, you really want to go eat a burger? Because I'm like the messiest eater ever.
I know,
Like,
I know.
I'll be so, I'm like,
I
oh no, are
know.
you sure you want to go out for burgers?
You're like, can I,
Because I'm
don't look
like
at me
messy.
weird. You're like,
You
don't look
can't
at,
look at me while I'm eating, like, because
well, no,
I'm
you're,
just, I'm an animal when I eat. Like, I'm like, so, like, no.
well, it's so funny. No, you're just like, you're like, can I eat it with a fork and knife? So you don't like, don't look at, you know what I mean? So don't get in my
Don't look
face.
at me, making it like a whole,
Oh.
like, he's like, I'll never date you again.
Oh my God. No, that is so funny. No, I, yeah, dating is, but that's the thing. Like, there's just some things I think, like, culturally that I see from like generations before me, decades before
Yeah.
me, like the 80s, the 70s. There's no time period that's perfect. Every period of time has its issues, but I think I miss kind of the pomp and circumstance of the 70s, like getting dressed up and doing things, you know? I don't know,
I wouldn't
whatever.
want to be out in the, I wouldn't, I don't want to date now.
Oh
Not
no,
in this
forget,
era. I'm just
you
being
know, yeah,
100%
no,
honest with you. I feel really bad if you're out there because single, because it's hard, it's rough out there. I would not want to do that. I mean, I hear it from my friends all the time. I just don't want to even. No,
No.
no, no. All right.
All right, what's next?
Next is I was made for dancing by Leif Garrett from the Feel the Need 1978 album. This is my favorite, probably, I want to say it's my favorite disco song, because my favorite disco song is I Feel Love, but this was my intro to disco. Not the Bee Gees, not Donna Summer. It was Leif Garrett. Like, because one of my babysitters had the biggest crush on him.
Ew.
Like, we're talking posters. So we're talking posters. We're talking, like, and he was kind of, like, adorable at the time. He had this little cute face.
Yeah.
But the older one actually liked Andy Gibb.
The tears
when Andy Gibb died. Like, Andy Gibb's dead. Like, the tears that were crying. They were,
but I mean, he's hot. God. He was really hot. Andy Gibb was a smoke
Andy
show.
Gibb was adorable. We're going to add Andy Gibb, because I don't have him in my head. We'll add him. But I Was Made for Dancing is actually a really solid dance track. Like, really, really good. It's fun. I just, memories. So this one, you know.
Yeah.
So next is Daddy Cool by Bonnie M. Mm-hmm. Take the Heat Off Me from 1976. This is an Afro-German Caribbean vocal group.
The best.
That is just dynamite. Like, you're going to dance. Even if you don't dance, you're going to dance to this.
They have found the resurgence through TikTok with Rasputin, their other song.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you will move. You will move. The Love I Lost from Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Off of Black and Blue, 1973, this song fell under R&B, but it transformed into kind of disco. They moved it a little bit more to the beat, and it's considered one of the first disco tracks, actually. Like, disco at that time hadn't fully emerged yet. I really love the song because it's beautiful but sad, but you still want to dance to it, even though it's about a breakup. It just, to me, this feels like the perfect couple song, like the song that our parents would dance to.
Yeah.
Disco Inferno from the Tramps, off of the Disco Inferno album, 1976. Pure energy, amazing track. I think 1976 was obviously a major year for disco. I would have loved to have been alive at that time. Like, like I told you, I would love to have been alive. You could not get me off the dance floor.
Yeah.
Because this song is so, 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 so good. It was covered by Tina Turner. I mean, it's been covered a few times, but
yeah,
you just, oh, so good.
Yeah.
So this is like also, I'm going to include a few disco adjacent songs. Okay. Just bear with me. That's Ride so a cute. White Horse from Goldfrapp off of Supernature, released in 2005. Goldfrapp, in case you guys don't know, it's an electronic duo. The song was actually inspired by the disco scene of the 70s and Bianca Jagger. I mean, I love that you could dance to this song now, or you could dance to this in the 70s. I think it's a timeless song. Love Train from the OJs, off of Backstabbers, 1972. It's another song that apparently marked the emergence of disco. Last Night a DJ Saved My Life by In Deep.
I love this song.
Such a good song. It was actually released as a single in 1982. And it just makes me really sad, because I think it would have been a bigger hit if it wasn't for the anti-disco backlash that happened in the early 80s.
But
so they're considered post-disco, really.
Yeah, but I feel like this song has been, it's been carried through the decades, because I feel like it's been a house, like it's been picked up here and there. So luckily it hasn't been dismissed, because I mean, I remember hearing it on the dance floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think who covered this? Mariah Carey covered this.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. I don't know, actually.
Oh my gosh. I was listening to Mariah. Song. Mariah. Actually, you know that I'm not really like,
we know. We
a
know.
Major fan of we Mariah. Know. But We've the song already... Obsessed.
I love
Why
that song.
Why are you so obsessed
Can I tell
with me?
You?
Can, I oh my gosh.
I
it's
sing
so
that
good.
To my sister just to piss her off. I'm like, why?
Like, I heard the song is about Eminem.
Oh, that's amazing. I love him too.
He probably fucking had it coming. Okay. Like, you know, but do you hate, like, why are you looking at me? You hate me so much. Stop looking at me. Like,
I love it. You know, she's dedicating like a whole song to him.
Like, she dedicated this entire song. Like, you know, I'm like, thank Eminem, because this is actually a really, really, really good song.
And do you know what fits any situation? If I'm talking to you about something, or if I'm talking to my girlfriends or my sister, and I bring something up, And I'm like, why are they so obsessed with, you know, why are they so obsessed with me? Why? Thanks, Mariah.
Oh, God, these divas. Anyway, well, back on it. Speaking of diva, Never Can Say Goodbye by Gloria Gaynor. Well, her cover, actually, because I think this is from the Jackson 5, and her cover was released in 1975. Mm-hmm. She-Wolf by Shakira.
Love.
I love this. This is clearly a disco homage. Mm-hmm. It's got the disco strings. It's got the disco beat. Mm-hmm. And she's part Lebanese. I have to support her, guys. Sorry.
Yes. Hello.
I have to. I'm going to include Cuff It from Beyonce Renaissance 2022. This year she released Renaissance. Have you heard it?
Not yet. I have, but now you're going to like, I mean, it's going to be on the track. So I'm going to listen to it when I listen to the playlist.
You have to. Well, okay. Well, Break My Soul was house. Yeah. This to me is the disco track.
Okay.
I mean, she has a few, but I have to admit, I am kind of sick of it because of TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick of it because of TikTok, but it is a solid, really, really good. You could be like, you could dance to this in 1977 in roller skates and tube tops. Like, really good.
Is it, baby girl, is it a solid gold? You see what I did there?
Oh, it is. It is. It is.
It's a solid gold. Just kidding.
And my final one is Dancing Queen by ABBA. Off of Arrival, 1976. You know
what? This band deserves every accolade, and because they had the resurgence as well. Because they had the Mamma Mia movies, which was all, the soundtrack was all ABBA songs.
Do you have a favorite ABBA song? Is it Dancing Queen?
No, it's, let me see. I love a lot of their songs. I don't know what, off the top of my head, what do I like?
Oh my God. My favorite is Kiss the Teacher.
I like Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
Because I kiss the teacher.
Oh God, I love it. I love it.
No, it's not getting cut. I'm not cutting it.
No, who cares? Money, money, money is amazing. Gimme,
it's
gimme,
so
gimme.
Good. Oh, of course we have to
the
talk
winner
about
takes
ABBA.
It all. I mean, they have, what don't they have?
They're
amazing.
So good.
Oh, does your mother
Chiquitica,
know?
Dime por qué.
See? Yes. Oh God.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay.
It's your turn. Take it away.
Listen, this is going to be chaotic. Just bear with me and stay with me, okay? Stay with
me. I'm here. We're not going anywhere.
The first one is Hal Hal by Barış Manço. It's a Turkish singer. Starting up strong. taking you around the world. The second one is He's the Greatest Dancer, Sister Sledge, because we love a man that can dance.
Yep.
Sol Makusa by Meno Dibango. I think he's from Cameroon. Like, he's also he's a Cameroonian artist. He actually, let me just give you a bit of detail, because he's a very, very famous, very important guy. Unfortunately, he died from COVID complications in March of 2020. So he plays a saxophone and the vibraphone, and he developed a musical style fusing jazz, funk, and traditional Cameroonian music. So the genres are Makusa, African rumba, Afrofunk, Afrobeat, jazz, and traditional. He's also really sue happy because people try to sample his stuff without his permission, and rightfully so, he sues them. So there you go. The next song is Don't Leave Me This Way by Thelma Houston.
Beautiful. Such a good song.
Yes, yes. The next is Upside Down by Diana Ross. About a guy who's cheating on, like, upbeat. So, like, you're dancing to it.
You could see disco brought you dancing to misery and heartbreak. you feel like you're dying inside, but take your ass to the club with that slinky dress and just dance that bad energy out.
Forget the slinky dress, do the tight pants that you have to, like, lay down, the lycra.
You have to lay down,
like, lay down to put them on. Yeah,
like, you're trying to not to cry, hold back the tears, but you know,
One deep breath and those pants are going to bust open. So you better stop breathing, stop crying. And
don't breathe. Don't breathe. Just dance.
Nobody needs to breathe anyways. Ring My Bell by Anita Ward is next.
Classic.
Right? The next classic. One is from Chic. It's Everybody Dance.
Oh, Chic, one of my favorite disco songs. Oh.
Like, Chic had a lot of disco hits, and they're kind of, I want to say, like, elevated, like, cool girl. Like, if you're into Saint Laurent now, you would be into Chic then. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. But, like, Saint Laurent in the 70s wasn't as cool as it is. It was cool, but, like, not as it is now. But I feel like the chic ladies were just cool. Red nails, red lipstick, gloss, like cigarettes. You know, they didn't give a shit.
It was more under. I think Halston was more back then. But
100%. Yeah.
They were ahead of the game. They were just ahead of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Next one is YMCA by the Village People. Because, you know. Next is Give Me the Night by George Benson. The next one is Only You by Steve Monite. Mm-hmm. The next is A-E-I-O-U by DiMello and Cotonete, I think. The next is Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan, one of my favorite songs ever.
Oh, so good.
Yep. The next is Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye. I mean, not technically disco, but you know, I don't care.
No, that was on the floor. Like, you were dancing to that in 1978.
Song. It's a such a good song. Good song. Okay.
So good.
The next is Shame by Evelyn Champagne King. The next is Ari Mods by Harut, who is an Armenian singer. And the last one, let's keep it in the Middle East, is Liza Liza by Elias Rahbani and his orchestra. Yes. That's a lot.
That's a lot. But this is going to be a wicked playlist.
It's going to be so good.
I'm excited.
Good. Me too. I'm pumped.
What'd you listen to today?
Okay, so today's a little bit of like a shit show because I am in this class called Decolonization in Music, and we have to start writing a paper. And so I had to kind of like put together a presentation on what I'm going to talk about and artists. And obviously my discussion is all around the occupation and colonization in Iraq. It's a heavy topic.
Yeah.
So I was listening to Iraqi artists like Kadha Masahir, Sajida Arbaid, Nur al-Zain. And then I was listening to Syrian artist Amr Suleiman and Lebanese artist Sara El Zakaria. If you guys ever want a playlist with like, we should do a world music segment.
We'll do that. I was going to tell you, put all those people in what you listen to or create a playlist for that. That's amazing. We'll put it out.
Yeah, I'll do that. I actually have to do it too because the kids at school, the other students were like, that one, those beats are like
because
sick.
You're the older one, okay?
Yeah, I know. But they're so sweet and supportive of me and like they're so cute. When I talk, they're all like, look at me. It's very, very sweet. I do like them. And I feel so bad when I harsh, like, anyways, we're not going to talk about critique.
Oh God. All right. I listened to Genuine. I've been listening to Genuine.
Okay.
I love Genuine. The last song was So Anxious.
Oh, cute. Okay.
From 100% Genuine. Okay. Genuine just makes me want to move. I freaking love Genuine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit. Pony is a good freaking song.
Oh no, that's a classic. Everybody loves that. You know, a lot of
everybody
children,
loves Pony.
A lot of children are conceived to Pony. I'm sure.
Come on, we love it.
Yeah. My Pony.
Well, thank you guys for listening to us digress and chat.
Okay. Yes. Thanks again for spending time with us on this episode. We look forward to hearing your thoughts and requests. Feel free to reach out to us via our Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, text message, fax. Just kidding. See you next week. Bye. Bye.